Hi, I'm Mandy Snell, and you're listening to Figuring It Out.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennial women starting online businesses, blogs, and podcasts they love. I'm Melissa Guller, founder of The Kindling, and each week I interview another amazing woman to learn more about her story, her challenges, and her best actionable tips to help you find your spark. Welcome, everybody, to another great episode. This week, I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Mandy Snell. Mandy is the managing director of Focal Point Business Coaching of Virginia. She's a business coach and certified project manager who believes that people accomplish more when inspired by a purpose bigger than themselves. So, Mandy, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So to kick things off, I'd love to know, how did you first think of the idea for your business and get things started?
Well, to be honest, I spent a long time in the Navy and I was a single mom very early in my career. So I needed to be smart about how I spent my time and my money. And luckily, I was surrounded by a lot of people who liked to talk about business and investing, and it became a habit. A couple of years ago, somebody said, hey, you know, there are actually people who pay for business coaches. And I had never even occurred to me that people actually get paid to be a business coach, because it's something I've been doing for 20 years, kind of just as fun. So when it was time to retire out of the Navy, I started a practice and started networking. And it's actually really interesting. I love hearing about other people's businesses and all of their ideas.
And this might sound obvious, but just in case, like you, listeners are hearing about business coaching for the first time, what exactly does that mean?
So a lot of times people get confused between the concept of coaching and consulting. So a lot of times, bigger businesses will hire in a consultant to advise them on specific steps to fix a particular problem. If you have an HR problem or, a specific marketing or financial problem, a coach is asking questions to guide you along your thought process so that as a business owner, you retain control and you find an actionable solution that's workable for you and your unique situation.
And is being a business coach, is that something a lot of people are doing nowadays?
Actually, there are quite a bit of coaches in general. And the trick is to find a business coach that fits your situation. It's like anything else. You could hire a life coach, but they run the gamut from folks who are trying to help you declutter to folks that help you get in better shape. So, business coaching is similar in that you just need to talk to a bunch of them and figure out who's the best fit for your situation.
I think that's a really great comparison. So what is the niche or the type or the specialty that sets you apart from other business coaches?
Yes, actually, I love to work with technical experts. So folks who have some sort of technical expertise and maybe need a little bit of help reaching clients and being heard, maybe in a more competitive space, IT, that sort of a thing. And one of the things that I do a little differently is that I am actually a certified project manager, which means I'm really good at organizing processes and in particular business processes for folks. So you can get back to focusing on a thing you like, whether it's, fixing, HVAC systems or providing architectural services or whatever it is that's, that technical professional service. And if you have your business processes kind of down and organized and you don't have to think about them as much, then it's much more enjoyable for those technical experts to focus on their business.
I've never heard of, but I'm sure it exists, people who have both the coaching and then that certified project management experience. And as you're describing it, it's such a powerful combination to be able to take almost like the logistics and the how the business runs and all of those worries away so that people can focus on their core talents and what they're really trying to do.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of interesting. A lot of business coaches focus on mindset, and it's really important to have a positive outlook and to believe, that you can do big things. Because if you don't have that fundamental belief, you won't take the jump. But it is also important to be able to develop actionable steps and a practical process to implement that change in a controlled manner so it doesn't go out of, all haywire and take over your life.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a yin and yang. You need the mindset, and then you need some framework or some means of executing so that you can bring things to life.
Absolutely.
So I know you mentioned, you know, helping them find the clients, but let's talk a little bit about you. So how did you find your first customers?
Well, it's kind of funny. So Focal Point is a franchise, and coming out of, you know, the military, I thought, oh, a franchise is great because they have a system and they have marketing in place. And as it turns out, I don't quite fit the mold of your typical business coach, kind of like we talked earlier. And it took me a little while to figure out I needed to be more of myself. So once I took the training and my experience and I kind of made my own thing, then people started to respond to me better, if that makes any sense.
When you say you became, you know, more of yourself, what did that look like exactly?
So I guess really I had to put a lot of thought and distill my philosophy down into, you know, really short statement. And, you know, I believe that people accomplish more when they're inspired by a purpose bigger than themselves. But I also believe that incremental change over time is what gives you massive results. So what I did was I took the coaching program that I'm licensed to deliver and I took it down into smaller bite-sized pieces. And when I delivered it, when I started to deliver it in 15-minute increments on demand instead of doing the traditional 1 hour scheduled every week, that's actually how I got my first couple of clients, because then the change was not so intimidating. It was something they could do and it was more flexible for them. And it also happened to work better for me as well. So that was a win-win.
How did you figure out that that's what you wanted to do, to break it down into smaller chunks?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I had to put a lot of thought into, you know, am I walking the walk? So I'm going to talk the talk and tell people they need to do these things to improve their businesses, but am I really walking the walk and doing it myself? And, you know, am I setting the example? And that's how I came up with the idea.
It makes a lot of sense. And so once you did get those first customers in, I'm sure that things have evolved since then. So how did your business grow? And then what does it look like today?
Well, the good news is I've hit my first set of goals and I've got a waiting list started. So I'm very excited to see where it goes next.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is very exciting. So what were some of the main maybe strategies or tools that helped you get to this point?
Well, I'll tell you first what didn't work. I'm an e-course junkie. I spent a lot of time on all the free opt-ins and the webinars and researching things and writing down ideas. And I wasn't taking any action, and that was the problem. So once I started deciding that I was just going to, you know, I wrote down a plan and decided that done is better than perfect, and I was just going to get started. That is when it started to take off.
Done is better than perfect is maybe one of the mantras I have to tell myself the most.
It's hard.
And I love this free e-course junkie phrase, but it's not true, because I think the problem with the free opt-ins and the free courses is that it feels productive.
Right.
Like just taking the course itself feels like you're doing something. But if you just continue to take free courses, you're not actually taking any action to move your own business or project forward. So like you said, you have to take some kind of action. Even if it's something very small, you have to do something other than just take the courses.
That's exactly right.
So what were some of the first few actions that you took?
Actually, the first thing that I did was I got rid of the franchise website that was not personalized. And I built my own. And it's
so
not,
do they give you one out of the box? Is that how
they
it works?
They do. And okay. It's got videos and a, you know, built-in opt-in for a newsletter that, you know, and that sort of thing. But everybody gets the same cookie cutter website. And mine is much simpler. It's much more streamlined. It goes along with the whole incremental change, 15-minute bites. I think it's a lot more digestible.
Something that I love too about what you're saying with creating your own site is there's something really grounding about starting with a franchise, because they do have a lot of established practices. Like you're saying, they even have a website you can start with in place. Mm-hmm. But what you did that I love is you took the structure of a franchise that exists and you built your own site to really personalize it and still make your own branch stand out and feel more like you.
Yeah. And actually for franchisees, that's one of the things you have to look for in the agreement if that's the way you opt to go. But one of the things that appealed to me about this particular company was you have the option to brand as your own coach.
That's actually a great tip I never would have considered, which is if you are looking into franchise opportunities, to really read the fine print about what you can and cannot do, because you want to make sure that that aligns with what you hope to do and what your goals are.
Yes.
And while we're on the franchise topic too, I have to ask, how did you make the decision to go with a franchise compared to starting your own? Because I know we touched on it a bit, but what did you see were the overall benefits there?
So in general, I felt more comfortable going with a franchise because it had a system that I could follow. And coming out of the military, I was concerned that I wouldn't have the right terminology to translate my skills effectively without the help of that structure. When I started looking at different franchises and I got to know the people who are part of this particular organization, I felt like I'd found my people. They're all growth-minded. They're all very creative thinkers. They're very positive. They're action takers. And I really love the network of coaches that I have as being part of this group. So I have a support network built in. You know, there are a lot of creative, very effective coaches, all kinds of different backgrounds. And I really enjoy being part of that team, which is why I actually signed on with them.
I think both of those are really great points. You mentioned that it's a system in place and then the support, the community of the other people around you. And something I'll say is that when you're starting something new outside of a franchise, just on your own, you really do have to do it all. And you're not just creating the content or the coaching about whatever expertise you have. You're also learning how to be a digital marketer. You're learning what legal things you need to consider. You have to just kind of start at zero with everything. But what you're saying, this system, this support community, it's such a step ahead. And I think for a lot of people, I don't want anybody to feel like they would have to do it all on their own. Like, going with a franchise can be, I'm sure, a really wonderful choice for so many people, just like it was for you. And I would have never considered it before. So I love that we're learning more about your experience.
Yeah, the key is, right, just to pick something that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think, too, a lot of us and listeners especially aspire to run their own business for different reasons. But the way that we would hit our goals is going to be different for everybody. And so a franchise would be a perfect choice for so many people in the way that starting from scratch might be a perfect choice for other people. So I think it's great to even just make people aware that there are options like this, because when I think of franchise, I think of like Subway or, you know, that kind of brick and mortar franchise. I don't know if many people think of a business coaching opportunity as something that could also have a franchise opportunity.
Right. I didn't realize it was a franchise opportunity in coaching, to be honest. But, you know, when you have licensed material and all you have to do is break it down into smaller chunks instead of delivering it in the bigger chunks, it's so much simpler than having to come up with everything from scratch and to have it all formatted and, you know, have it ready to go for your clients. So it was a little more turnkey.
Which is great, because then, of course, it means you have more time to focus on other things like your clients or finding more of them, maybe.
Right.
Well, you mentioned to me earlier, but something else going on with you right now is that you're transitioning into doing this full time, right?
Yes.
So what is that transition looking like for you right now?
I'm just looking for a good time to give my boss notice. I did make some commitments there to cover down for some of my teammates, and I want to be a team player and leave on good terms. So I'm very excited to say that the business is now at a point where I'm ready to take that leap. And it's just a matter of making sure that I leave on good terms in a way that's authentic to myself.
And you don't have to give me like specific numbers or anything, but how did you figure out that you were at a place where you could pursue this full time?
Well, I'm an analyst by trade, so I knew exactly how much money goes out every month. And by measuring the right key performance indicators, I have a pretty good feel on where it's going to, you know, which way the trend's going. So it's all about numbers and making sure you're measuring the right things.
Right. Like, unsexy as it sounds, it's just math.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right? Like, it's figuring out how much money is coming into your business and how much money you need, I'm sure, to sustain the lifestyle that you want to have and maintain any operating expenses. So I think the moment, if anybody is wondering, if they're listening, is just you have to have an awareness of what your business is doing and what your lifestyle needs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously in growing a business, it seems like you've had a lot of success so far, but we always want to talk about the challenges and we've covered a few already, but I do want to ask, what would you say has been the number one challenge that you've faced so far in getting your business off the ground?
I think for me, the biggest challenge is imposter syndrome. It's when you make a change that seems big, even though you know you have the confidence and you have the transferable skills, sometimes if you're not good at articulating that to other people, you know, it kind of makes you feel a little smaller and maybe less, which it really shouldn't. But, you know, I think that's something that everybody kind of runs into now and again.
First of all, 100%. I think every great woman, not even women just starting online businesses, but every great self-aware woman has moments where it feels like, why me? Should I really be doing this? We all have that kind of voice just popping up inside our heads because it's human. But I'm curious to hear from you. What did imposter syndrome sound like to you? What were some of the thoughts or things that you noticed kept popping up for you?
The number one question that kept popping into my mind was, how can you help somebody in private industry if your background is in the public sector? Hmm. And it took me a little bit to kind of figure it out for myself. I knew it was there. I just had to put it down on paper and look at it.
Oh, that's interesting. So I was about to ask, how did you manage to work through some of that imposter syndrome? But you physically wrote it down?
I did. And it's right above my desk. I look at it every day.
Okay. So you physically wrote it down, you put it somewhere that you can see every day and you just constantly have that reminder?
Yes.
I love that. I think what's great about writing something down and physically seeing it is then you don't have to spend the brain power conjuring it up on your own. You can just read it and say like, yes, okay, I remember that this was my goal. This was the person that I know I can be. This is the way that I can help people. This is the way that I am good enough exactly as I am. However, you know, you want to frame it to yourself, but the physical act of writing it down and posting it, I think is a really great idea.
Yeah. And it actually works. It sounds so simple, but it actually works.
Yeah. What's tricky is like all of the, we talked earlier about mindset and the internet is full of woo. I mean, there's so much mindset stuff. And the thing is, I want to hate it because like, I'm not a woo girl. This is not who I am at my core. I'm
right.
Very like, no frills, all sarcasm all day. But the thing is, I really do believe in the power of a mindset and you have to believe that the thing you want is possible for yourself. It sounds so hokey. There's a little, I like, kind of vomit in my mind every time I say this. But I also do totally believe it because if I'm too hard on myself, I think the problem is that when you hear those thoughts, you start to believe that they're real. And having something written down or just the, you know, in this case, you posted it on the wall, but you could have it in a notebook. You could set something, I've heard it recommended as like the background of your computer or your iPhone. Those are all just ways to kind of keep it top of mind and remind yourself what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah. And actually I'm not woo-woo at all either, but one kind of interesting exercise that they taught us during my certification process was imagine somebody that you admire as a successful person and take a minute and write down everything that you can think of about that person and describe what makes them successful. And then when you go through and count the words, you find out that it's typically less about the skills and experience, and it's more about their attitude.
That's a really interesting exercise. I love that suggestion. I think that's something that any listener could do today. We talked about like you have to take action, right? So maybe for some listeners, your action today can be to think of somebody you admire, look up to, aspire to be more like, and write down what some of those qualities are that you see in them or how you think that they got to be as successful as they are.
Yep. And so far, everybody I know has come out with more attitude traits than actual like skills or credentials. It's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense though, because you have to do whatever this thing is that you're trying to do every day. And it's not going to be, you know, equal levels of positivity and excitement about it every day, but something in you has to want it and find value and have a positive attitude about it in a way that will carry you through not just days, but months, years. And I think if you don't enjoy it or you don't see a value or there's more negative thoughts than positive, I imagine it's not likely that you're going to persevere.
No, absolutely not. And you know, if you're the leader and the entrepreneur and you don't have a vision, then why would anybody else want to follow, you know, where you're going?
Mm-hmm. And I think you don't have to have every single answer. You know, right. As a leader, it's not like you have to have a perfectly crafted plan with every single task from now until a full 5-year plan. Right. You just have to have like a sense of like you have your purpose or your mission statement that I know we read off in your bio. And I think if people have that kind of guiding, I'm doing this because blank, like even that's enough to start with.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's been a hugely helpful, something that people could do today. So I hope that some listeners do take some time to think about who inspires them and then figure out what are some of the things that led to that success. Now, before we go, I do want to wrap up with a little bit about what's next for you and some recommendations for our listeners. So first up, what are your big goals for the future and what's next for you?
Well, we touched on one, which is to quit my full-time job and make this my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be coming up here shortly, I hope. Actually, definitely by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And, what I'd like to do with that extra time is start group coaching classes. So I noticed there are a lot of entrepreneurs that I meet in my networking events that are available during the workday and maybe have some other things they're doing in the afternoons and evenings. And I'd love for them to have, you know, some of these tools that are more accessible to them and meet them where they are.
So how does group coaching for listeners compare to one-on-one coaching? At least for you, I'm sure it's different for different coaches.
Well, for one, group coaching is the price point is lower for each individual who's in the cohort, but you also get a network and some other folks who are working through similar problems and some other people to bounce ideas off of. I think a lot of times, you know, if you are the boss and you're the entrepreneur, it kind of gets a little lonely, and having, you know, some peers to kind of commiserate makes you more confident to move forward with things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two great points, both. Lower price point and the benefit of other people in your shoes.
Right.
I love that. So next up, we have a question about some recommendations for listeners. So what is either one resource or one book that you would recommend to anybody aspiring to start their own online business, blog, podcast, side hustle, project, any of those?
One book I recommend for anyone who wants to improve their listening skills is The Coaching Habit by Michael Stanier. He basically, it's a book with all the, you know, explanation in between, but there are 7 basic questions that you can use and adapt. And it applies in all sorts of situations. So if you go to networking events and you don't know what to say, you can use some of those questions in the conversation, and that kind of gets it going for you.
I'll include a link to the book in the show notes. Do you happen to remember one of the 7 questions offhand we can suggest to listeners?
The first one they start off with is what's on your mind, or, you know, what would you like to talk about or something like that. And then the second question is, and what else?
That's so the and what else, I imagine, just gets people talking, right?
Right. It does. You get away from the superficial to maybe the next level down.
Mm-hmm. Even what's on your mind, what I love about that is that it's broader than how was your day? How was work? Mm-hmm. What's up? Like, it's just specific enough to get somebody talking about something they're thinking on, but isn't so broad that it feels impossible to answer.
Yes.
All right. Great tips. And again, we'll put a link to the book in the show notes. And then the last question before we wrap is, who is one businesswoman you admire and why?
I am a huge fan of Sheryl Sandberg. And when she wrote Lean In, I was at a point in my career where I felt like a lot of people were taking credit for all my good ideas. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave me permission to sit at the table and to push back a little and to take credit for my experience and my expertise. And I also loved reading about Option B, which she wrote after her husband died unexpectedly. And it was a little softer, was learning to balance a professional career with wanting to be there for the kids and the family and thinking about that sort of a thing. So I really admire her work and the things that she's gone through.
Yeah, absolutely. I can agree more. And we'll, yeah, again, in the show notes, we'll have links to both of Cheryl's books. Cheryl, as though she and I are on a first name basis. But they're both, I'm sure, great for different listeners at different points. And something that stood out to me about LinkedIn is how she told stories about different vulnerable points in her career.
Yeah.
Which I think is so important for women to just spotlight more of the things that didn't go as planned or, you know, maybe detoured a bit. And it's easy today, I think, to see all the good stuff. So I really admire the fact that she was willing to talk about some of the things that she struggled with in her career and how she's gotten to this point at Facebook that she is today.
Yes.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you. And before we go, how can listeners keep up to date with you or learn more about your business?
Well, I've got that new website, which is virginiabusinesscoach.com. Or you could shoot me an email whenever you want, which is msnell@focalpointcoaching.com.
Love it. So we'll include links to both in the show notes. And hopefully somebody might be interested to either check you out or even just learn more about the website that you created since we spent time talking about how we made yours feel more personal. So I'm sure it'd be a great resource for listeners to kind of take a peek and see what you've been working on.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And thank you so much again for joining. It's been wonderful learning more about your business and about you. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find links to Mandy's business in the show notes at figuringitoutpodcast.com. I also have a small favor to ask before you go. If you did enjoy this week's episode, I'd love if you would leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because reviews are what tell iTunes and new listeners that viewers like you are enjoying our show, and it'll help us reach more great listeners like you. So I can't thank you enough in advance. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Mandy Snell. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.